Our scripture reading is taken from Matthew 13, reading from verses 47 to 52. And then I'll be reading also some verses from Matthew 22. But first of all, from Matthew 13, verses 47 to 52. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet that was cast into the sea and gathered some of every kind, which, when it was full, they drew to shore, and they sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but threw the bad away. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come forth, separate the wicked from the just, and cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Jesus said to them, "Have you understood all these things?" They said to him, "Yes, Lord." Then he said to them, "Therefore every scribe instructed concerning the kingdom of heaven is like a householder who brings out of his treasure things new and old." And then reading from Matthew 22 and verses 1 to 14. Jesus answered and spoke to them again by parables and said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son and sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding, and they were not willing to come. Again, he sent other servants, saying, 'Tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and fatted cattle are killed, and all things are ready. Come to the wedding.' But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his own farm, another to his business. And the rest seized his servants, treated them spitefully, and killed them. But when the king heard about it, he was furious, and he sent out his armies, destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Therefore go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite to the wedding.' So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all whom they found, both bad and good. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. So he said to him, 'Friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment?' And he was speechless. Then the king said to the servants, 'Bind him hand and foot, take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen.'" So far, the reading of God's Word. Dear people of God, we come to the last of the sermons on the kingdom of God. And this parable touches a very thorny issue, namely, the membership of God's kingdom. We've spoken about God's kingdom in terms of its beginnings, how it's going to grow, how it's going to become greater than the other trees and the shrubs of the field. But now it's to do with membership, those that are in the kingdom. And it has caused divisions, even among believers. Some advocate that the church, and hence the kingdom, is made up of believers only. Having said that, they do understand and accept the fact that hypocrites do get in to those churches. Others, like us, believe that the church is made up of believers and their children. And this covers, of course, covenant children that have to come to faith, as well as those that profess to believe, to the satisfaction of the officers of the church. And we also confess that hypocrites can get in. And the Reformed churches also readily confess in our confessions that the church is essentially made up of believers. The Belgic Confession, Articles 28 and 29. But the church in this world is a mixture. And certainly the scriptures make that very clear, even in the passages that we've read this morning. And not only is that due to the imperfections of evaluating people's faith, of those that seek to join, but also due to the fact that covenant children are included in the church in this world, and yet some don't make profession of faith. Such questions are touched upon in these parables, and hence should alert us to the answers. And in God's providence, not only are we dealing with this morning, but this afternoon more particularly with the case of infant baptism. What does it mean? What does it mean? How do we view them? What relationship do they have with God by being baptized members of the church? And again, there's all kinds of issues that arise, all kinds of confusion. But I trust that this morning and then this evening when we look at that particular question, that it will be made clear, abundantly clear. All that we find in these parables. So not only in terms of our confessions, what we have stood for, but that it would be wonderfully reflected in the plain teaching of God's word in these parables. So first of all, in terms of this parable and the picture that we're given, we want to concentrate first of all on the indiscriminate catch. The indiscriminate catch. It is a wonder and an instructive lesson for us that the nature around us, the creation around us, is filled with parables, we might say. It's filled with analogies. It's filled with situations and experiences that when we think about them and we think about God's word and his teaching, that they become examples, practical examples of biblical truth. That's why Jesus utilized parables. To make things clear, to put it in a practical way that we could get our minds around. And this situation is no different. And so when the Lord Jesus Christ wants to speak to them about the kingdom of God, and particularly membership, those that are in the kingdom of God, he turns to something that they were very familiar with. Fishing. They were fishermen after all. He promised them that he would make them fishers of men, the disciples. And so it's a very appropriate and fitting and helpful way that the Lord Jesus Christ illustrates for them this whole issue of membership in the kingdom of God. They knew what it was to let down nets. They knew what it was to drag them in. They knew what it was to sit and sort those fish out. Everything was familiar. Little did they know that these things that they did, when understood, would help them appreciate and understand the spiritual truth about the kingdom of God to which they had been called. Is it any wonder then that the Lord Jesus Christ called fishermen, people that would be looked down upon by others, the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees and the high priests, looked down upon? Well, what do these people know? They're fishermen. But they knew about the kingdom of God once they were given a key to understanding the kingdom of God. Who's this David anyway? He just takes care of sheep. Why would we make him king? We need a soldier. We need someone who can fight. One of his brothers. But no. What David learned when he was taking care of the sheep was what helped him serve God as a faithful king, even with his imperfections. Nevertheless, he was a blessing to them. So here we have this truth that the kingdom of God is filled in this manner, that nets are let down, and the nets capture this huge ingathering of fish. That's what God is doing in this world. Through his churches, God is gathering people into his kingdom. Now, it is true that we can throw out a line, and that's a great sport. A lot of people do it, throw out a line and wait. It takes quite a while, doesn't it? Some people are more skillful than others. But there's no business that is set up by just individual fishermen doing that, is it? I mean, if you're going to provide fish, you're going to have boats. You're going to have big nets. You're going to draw a lot of fish. The task of bringing people, gathering people out of this world, is a task that is given to the church. Yes, using individual members, but it is a task of the church. It's not a task given to one individual or the 12 apostles. No, it's a task given to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Holy Spirit is gathering from the beginning of the world to the end all those that God has ordained in to everlasting life through the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we have to be aware of that responsibility. We have nets as a church to cast out all around. We have a responsibility to be instruments in God's hands to draw people in, to bring them into the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. All kinds of people will come. But to be mindful of the fact that that is what God is doing, and to be thankful for that fact, to recognize others that God is using to gather people into his church, into his kingdom, or to encourage us. It's not a competition, as I keep saying. It's not a competition. We need to be thankful for faithful churches. We may not agree with them on all points of doctrine, but what two churches are there that agree? But as long as they preach the gospel, as long as they call people to repentance and faith and the gospel as we have it in the scriptures, we need to be thankful. We need to celebrate that, not only in this country, but in all the countries of the world. It ought to excite us. After all, the sea in which we are fishing is not just our own little neighborhood. It's the whole world. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. So we need to be thankful for them. And it's all kinds of fish that are caught, both good and bad, it says. We ought not to discriminate in terms of spreading our nets and including people that come in. It's not up to us. The fisherman doesn't dive in with his aqualung and look and say, you can come in. No, you can't come in. No, the net is cast out wide. Wide. We're to go into all the world. Every nationality, every tongue, every class of people in our society. There should be no discrimination in gathering people. They were called, but they didn't want to come. And the king was angry, and he sent them out to the highways to bring all kinds of people. That's not to say, of course, that the church is just to let everyone and everybody in and become members, doesn't matter what they believe. No, that's not the point. But we ought not to discriminate. We ought not in advance to say we want certain kinds of people and not other kinds of people. And yes, there are going to be those that get in that are not genuine believers. But that ought not to disturb us to the point that we become uncertain and unstable and we become super, super investigative before we let anybody in. No, you're never going to be perfect. That's what the parable says. They caught good and bad. And there were many fish, by the way. Lest you're discouraged. Lest we're like the apostles when they were fishing and they'd been fishing all night and they hadn't caught anything. And then Jesus comes and he said, well, throw the nets on the other side. They said, well, you know, we do know how to fish. We have done this before. But if you say so, since we respect you, we'll do it, but it's not going to happen, really. And a huge, huge catch. But they couldn't even drag themselves. They were so heavy. Sometimes that's the way we feel. That's the way they think. Oh, you know, church, not too many people come. You know, we really haven't caught anything in that way of speaking. But we need to understand that the Lord is in control. And if we're obedient to his word, then there will be a catch. Catch in the sense of God will bring people in. And whether he brings them in this place or in other places, it doesn't matter. The fact is, they're being brought into the kingdom of God. And so we certainly need to pray for that. We certainly need to be making sure that we are in God's will in terms of the way that we invite people, the way that we spread the gospel. There will be many. Do not doubt. The wedding was full. Every seat was filled. God's church will be complete. Not one will be missing. We don't have to worry about that. All we need to be is faithful in terms of obedience to him. But in the second place, this parable draws our attention to this intentional separation. So when they had brought in this huge catch, it was made clear that there was in them a mixture. There was good and bad. In fact, even back in the Old Testament, when they were led out of Egypt, maybe you've come across that verse, that it was a mixed crowd. It was a mixed crowd. And what does that mean? That there were Jews and Egyptians? I doubt it. But it was a mixed crowd in regard to faith. Because and we see that raising its ugly head as they didn't trust God's leading. They didn't trust Moses. They complained and moaned. And at one point they were ready to stone Moses and to go back to Egypt. Talk about a mixed crowd. But even worse, we're told that many of them died in unbelief. Died in the wilderness. In fact, of those that were ready to go in and didn't go in, didn't trust God, none of them entered the land of Canaan because 40 years they went round and round the wilderness and they died, but in unbelief. No, there's a mixed catch of both good and wicked. The fishermen, we're told in this parable, sat down and sorted the good fish from the bad. And so that certainly illustrates and impresses upon our minds that there is going to be a separation between the good and the wicked. Whatever our view of the church may be in terms of membership, we all agree that unbelievers will never stand with believers indefinitely. Though they may stand with us as members of the church, though baptized, they will never stand with us for eternity without faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. However much we love our children, they will not stand with us without faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. without genuine faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Or they may be very obedient, they may come to church, but God will see through all of that. All elder brothers will be exposed for what they are, which is unbelievers. All baptized members will be shown for what they are when they refuse to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and, as it were, make profession of their faith in Him. No amount of time as baptized members will ever suffice. And no hypocrite will ever make it standing with believers. They may fake the fake their faith in the eyes of the church for a long time, and we may think that they are genuine and strong Christians. But that day, they will be shown for what they are. Because the fishermen know what fish are good, and they will use, and what will be thrown back into that sea of confusion and uncertainty. So it's very important then that we understand that these things happen. That these things ought not to discourage us with respect to the church. We ought not to say, you know, this thing about being saved and now you'll be saved for eternity, I don't know, because this person was in and then he left the church. And so maybe that's what my faith is like. No. We ought not to cast doubt on our own faith. When we understand that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is filled with a mixed crowd. So there are situations like that. We're not surprised by that as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. You ought not to be surprised by that. And certainly you ought not to be alarmed about yourself and say, oh boy, we can't have assurance at all. No, the Bible already tells us that these kinds of people get through. And it's not that they fool God. It's not that they fool God. We didn't want them to get in, but they got in. No, no. This is the way that God has ordained it. That it isn't going to be that judgment day scrutiny in this world with respect to who is brought in and who is kept out. No. It's not that. They don't fool God. In fact, it becomes something terrible for them. So we need to be reasonable as officers of the church and as a church collectively in terms of receiving people. So the Bible doesn't say, well, you know, because this is a case, a mixed crowd, don't even ask any questions. So anybody that comes forward, just willy-nilly, let's have them in. No, no, we do have responsibility. We do hold the keys of the kingdom after all. So we do need to be faithful in the exercise of those keys in terms of talking to people, making sure that they understand the gospel. But understand that we're not going to be perfect. But we need to understand that no one is going to fool anyone in that regard. But it is a chilling truth for us. It's a warning to us. Just because we're in the net doesn't mean we're going to be in heaven. We need to be more than in the net. We need to be those that are approved by God. We need to be those to whom God has given us the right to be called children of God. We need to be those in whose hearts God has implanted that seed, that heavenly seed. And we ought to be fully aware of His existence in terms of the joy that we have and the devotion that we have to the Lord Jesus Christ and the lives that we live. That question, as I said before so often, you know the answer to that question. If it's no, what a sad life you're living. If the answer to that is no, how terrible it is that you know your eternal destiny and you're doing nothing about it. I mean, how foolish can a person get? Even as we've said this morning, to invite people to the Lord's Supper. We're giving you a warning. We're giving you preparation time. Because why? Because we want to see you around the Lord's table. And notice the warning is to the church and to visitors that come. Even in the church, we recognize that some may not be right with the Lord, and they need to do that. They need to make that right with the Lord. So they come with a clear conscience to the table of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a blessing, and we'll see that more this evening. It's a blessing to be in the covenant, to be covenant children, and to be baptized and to be part of the church. But there's no eternal security there. There's no eternal security there. It's not going to keep you from being discarded. The only thing that's going to do that is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But this task in the parable is done by fishermen, but in the explanation we are taught it's the angels that do it. It's the angels that do it. Angels that will make no mistake. Angels that will not look on you and say, oh, this person, yeah, they were in the church for a number of years, you know, baptized. Oh, this person, yeah, they belong to this Christian family. No, none of that will come into play. None of that will matter an iota. They will look at you and they will decide infallibly whether you are good or bad. And that's not to do with your works, by the way. Good or bad in the sense that you've been saved by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, or you have not. That day will be a day of celebration for some. And it will be a day of eternal sadness and regret for those that don't. They had those opportunities. They were brought in to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. They heard the gospel. They tasted of its goodness, and yet they trampled it underfoot. How sad that will be. You don't want to be there. No, you want to do what the scriptures calls you to do. Make your election and calling sure by ensuring that you love the Lord Jesus Christ and obey Him with genuineness of heart and faith. You never want to hear those words, "Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you." Yeah, you were in my kingdom, but I never knew you. Yes, you were in the church, but I never knew you. You were always strangers to me, just like the elder brother. We were never in sync, because there was never faith. And when is that going to happen? Of course, it's going to happen at the end of the age. That separation takes place when the Lord Jesus Christ returns. We don't bring that event forward into the church of the Lord Jesus Christ now. We don't do an inquisition on every member and excommunicate people and receive others in. That's not our task. Yes, we're to exercise the keys of the kingdom, but we're not making eternal verdicts about anyone. We're not perfect. We can't see into the heart of everyone. We can only go by a credible profession of faith. But at that day, everything will be laid bare. Not only to the angels, but to us as well. We will see perhaps those that we have loved. And we will say, with all conviction of heart, that we will echo the words of our God and Savior, and say to them, perhaps our wives, perhaps our children, perhaps our husbands, we will say after him, if that is the case, "Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. How sad that is. How wonderful it is to be united in a common faith. And finally, it leaves an instructive warning that A, that there are dire consequences. The bad fish, that is unbelievers, that is hypocrites, that is those that pretend to be in the church that are not. It says we'll be cast into eternal hell. It serves as a wake-up call for teachers and people. People must be careful who they listen to and how they respond. Spiritual matters are not things to trust anyone with. You can't trust your parents and say, oh, well, because they're Christians, I'm okay. Or trust your friend, because I'm with this crowd, I'll be okay. No, no, no. You can't leave it to anyone else. Spiritual matters are things that you need to deal with. And you need to deal with all scrutiny. Not guesswork, not supposing that you are of the faith. No, no, no. But making sure, as I already said, make your calling and election sure. Nobody should be in doubt. Judgment Day should surprise none of us. In fact, it will not surprise any of us. No, we need to make sure. And that's why the Lord Jesus Christ is telling this parable. So that the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes and the chief priests, all of them may hear, Jews and Gentiles alike. You need to make sure. You need to be saved. We ought not to hear those words. What do we need to be saved from? We've never been in bondage. We're free. Sometimes that's what you hear in the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't need to make profession of faith. We're born into the covenant. We're saved. What a mistake. What a terrible mistake. No, no, no. We need to take care of that ourselves. Nothing stopping you. Nothing stopping you believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, is there? We're not stopping you coming to the Lord's Supper, are we? All we're saying is, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. God's kingdom has opened doors for you. But now's the time to enter. Today is the day of salvation. On that day, no one will come in and no one will go out. And that's why the Lord Jesus Christ ends that parable speaking about teachers. Jesus speaks about teachers of the law that have been instructed about the kingdom of heaven. We that understand these truths. That we need to be trained. We need to understand these things. We ought not to make these terrible mistakes. No, we need to be faithful. So that we can present these truths in a way that is easily understood by everyone. So that we don't leave them exposed to these delusions. That they might truly value the kingdom of heaven. That they may know how to enter the kingdom of heaven. And they may know what it is to be genuinely part of God's kingdom. And though they have blessings of friends and family, and as I said, being baptized members, we need to stress to them. And all the Baptists should understand this and hear it clearly. We don't think our children are Christians just by being baptized. Otherwise, they won't be saying the things that I'm saying. No, they need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, as do all of our friends. Because only this way can you be part of the kingdom of God, not only for today and tomorrow, but for all eternity. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we're so thankful that there is a kingdom for us to enter. We're so thankful that this world isn't all there is, because that would be a most shocking and disconcerting discovery. We're thankful that there is a kingdom that is full of knowledge and truth and righteousness and holiness, in which you, our loving God, dwells. And our Father in heaven, we're so thankful that we had that exemplified in the Old Testament as you lived in the midst of your people. But what terrible mistakes they made. How many things they took for granted. How many of them died in unbelief. And now in the New Testament, the Lord Jesus Christ dwells in our midst. He is the one that takes up his residence in the temple of God, which is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, our Father, we have the same issues. And so, our Father, we pray that these truths may be taken to heart. That though we know that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ in that sense is a mixed catch, that we might make sure with all of our heart and with all of our mind that we are those fish that God has transformed from being putrid and bad, worthy of being cast back into the sea, into those that will be received into our eternal abode with you. Our Father in heaven, we pray that you would indeed lead us by your Holy Spirit to embrace your wonderful gospel and to enter your kingdom as sons and daughters forevermore. Amen.